Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Good afternoon, friends. It's Giff Briner here. Once again, Two Guys with Heart. Me and my very good friend,
Dave Colonen.
Dave and I have a good program for you. This will loosen you up a little bit. If you're looking for methods or ways to strengthen your marriage, we decided to do another program on that. We've been alluding a little bit here and there the last several weeks on marriage and how to strengthen them. And that's what we want to try to do that again today, because there's lots of do's and don'ts. You know, why are some people so successful, so happy, and two people together, and they obviously belong together because they're always smiling, they're always doing things together, and some are at odds? What makes the difference, and what happens? And just how strong can a love be between a man and a woman? Well, let's look at some of those things. Never accept reports of others before your mate has a chance to explain things. Half-truths, boy, that has caused a lot of difficulty. Accurate information matters. It's very important. Someone related that they had seen a woman leaving a hotel room of a well-known minister. It launched a flood of accusation statements until someone quietly revealed it was his sister. Incidentally, her husband had remained with the minister while she searched for the ice machine, and nobody ever considered that. Nothing is ever as it first appears. So we shouldn't make hasty decisions and start saying things that can be unkind or untrue. The first weapon of all of the satanic strategies is doubt and unbelief. Satan is working away. Think about the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve were enjoying walks with God, and suddenly the serpent interjected poisonous doubt. Remember that story? Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Genesis 3, verse 1. It destroyed their lives and the future of the entire human race. It can happen. Relationships that increase your confusion instead of your peace can be running rampant if you allow half-truths to be told. Paul said, be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you'll find that. You see, missing information makes conclusions impossible. I remember reading a story many years ago, Dave. You might remember it too, about a lady who had seen a gentleman's well-known car parked in front of a bar room. So she went around town telling everybody that this guy spent some time in the bar room. And without ever asking or trying to figure out what there might have been some valid reason why that car was parked there. And it really bothered him when the word got back to him that this lady was running around town telling people that this guy's car was parked in front of the bar room. You know what he did to straighten her out? He parked his car in front of her house, left it there overnight, and picked it up the next morning. Well, that would tend to straighten you out, wouldn't it? That'd make, if people want half stories and half truths, well, they want to say negative and nasty things without knowing what they're talking about, that can really, really create hardships on a marriage. So for goodness sakes, don't do those kind of things. Keep your thoughts to yourself. Pray for specific methods to make your needs known to your mate. The Holy Spirit, of course, is our mentor. He knows our mates better than we do. He has knowledge of the childhood pains and the disappointments and fears that they have inside them. He knows their deepest yearning of their hearts. We have to listen to your Holy Spirit. Reach for his knowledge. The Holy Spirit loves your mate even more than you ever will. Let me read this something from Psalms 32. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eyes. So the Bible tells us to do that. Be careful. Any sincere prayer for divine wisdom is guaranteed an answer from God. Guaranteed. If you ask God for healing and wholeness, you're going to get it. And your mate needs that powerful prayer as much as you do. David, I would imagine is serving behind the pulpit and being a spiritual counselor for men and women throughout the years, that people have come to you with problems like this where they can't seem to communicate with their spouse properly. Any pearls of wisdom that you'd like to share with our listeners today on that subject?
Well, we always have to pray for methods to meet people's needs. And it's amazing how the Lord gives you things to say to a person that he loves more than you do. God loves your mate more than you do.
That's right.
And a prayer for divine wisdom is an answer from God. You remember Arnold Palmer?
Yeah.
The big golfer?
Yeah, his birthday was September 10th.
So you know about him.
I know that because that's my birthday, too.
Whoa.
Yes, I remember Arnold Palmer. He just passed away recently.
He was invited to speak at a convention of blind golfers.
Oh, wow.
And he asked them how they were able to know what direction to hit the ball. And one blind golfer explained that the caddy went on ahead, and with a little bell, which she would ring, he stood near the hole. The blind golfer then would hit the ball toward the sound of the bell. Well, Palmer asked how well it worked, and the blind golfer said that it worked so well that he was willing to take on Palmer for a round of golf. And just to make it interesting, he was willing to bet Arnold Palmer $10,000 he could beat him.
This is going to be a good story. I'm listening to this. You have my undivided attention, Dave.
You know, Arnold Palmer, that blew his mind.
Yeah,
here's a blind guy wanting me to play, and he wants $10,000 for the winner. That's great. Palmer didn't accept it right away, but he, in a little hesitation, so the blind golfer, he just got on his nerves a little bit and said, what's the matter? Are you afraid to play Arnold Palmer? And he said, no. Palmer finally said, what time is it that we will tee you off? You're on, brother, for $10,000. And the golfer finally said, we tee off at 11:30 tonight.
He's going to put Arnold in the dark. Arnold's going to have to listen to that bell himself. I like that story.
No bell.
No bell for Arnold. You got to play in the dark, too. Oh, that's funny. That's a good story.
So what are we talking about? We're talking about the kinds of prayers that help out and some common sense.
That's right. Yes.
I mean, who would have ever dreamed that Arnold Palmer would want to take on a blind golfer? Even to a $10,000
Yeah, you can't win.
Winner's
purse. You couldn't win in a contest. How do you win in a contest like that? You can't. So that was a foolish thing for him to go ahead and do that one.
Oh, that's funny.
That's a good funny story. Yes, we're going to tee off at midnight.
You know, if you learn how to play as hard as you work.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a very important subject between a husband and wife, male and female.
You're thinking about, are you willing to work as, you know, like you always do? Men, they're better than women at it. Men are made to work. They have an instinct inside them.
Yeah.
I mean, I see it myself. I get up in the morning and I don't have the ability, but I got to open up the back door and walk around the yard. Look at every tree, every shrub, look at the grass and see what this rock is. And before long, I found myself out there with a pruning fork and I'm cutting down this. And I'm enjoying it. I go back in the house saying, man, that was all right.
Yeah.
And what do you do the next day? You go out and do the same thing. And you find another bush that isn't just right, you know. This is the season for all that mulch. Yeah,
and looking at the garden flowers. I do that too.
So the season when you rest and the season when you really get up and do something is different.
Yes.
God always blessed the seventh day. So in my family, we honored the seventh day. When my neighbors get out and cut their grass on Sunday, I cringe inside. Yeah,
I know, me too.
I go by the golf course and it's packed with guys on every hole.
Yeah,
I cringe. You know, maybe God would say, well, if I lived on earth with you, I'd play too. Yeah. But that's the way I was raised, and I think that comes back to you all the time. That's you right. Learn to do things on the right day at the right time with your family and with your mate. And if you work at that as hard as you play other things, you'll find yourself scheduling all kinds of things that on the day of rest, on the day of work. And those are important as much as anything.
They are. You know, the Bible says exactly what you just said, too. If you remember right off the bat, what's it say in Genesis right up front? Jesus or God created the heavens and the earth and the animals and the air, and he created everything in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. So all of us have to understand that if God can require the rest of us also have to rest. So your words are well spoken, Dave. You are correct. And I have to admit, it bothers me too when I see or hear people mowing their lawn on Sunday. I say, now wait a minute. Now, you know, you have 6 days to get that finished. Now, if you're going to mow your neighbor's lawn because they're having trouble and you're doing that on Sunday, okay, that's a different kind of work. That's a labor of love, and that's okay. But don't do it as a matter of fact in your own place. You know what I mean? There is a difference. There is a difference. And so that's why I try not to pass judgment just because I see it, because how do I know there might not be a circumstance? But the point is that we still have to learn to take a day of rest. And we have to have a Sabbath day. And I'm not saying necessarily that it has to be Sunday, because, you know, preachers work on Sunday. But the preachers usually take another day. They'll have either Monday or Friday or Saturday. Usually one of those 3 days is the pastor's Sabbath. The point is that you take a day a week, a day of rest, a day of Sabbath, and you make the best of it. And you keep that day holy to yourself. And it's important that you and your spouse do that together as much as humanly possible.
I was just talking to my oldest daughter. She has three children, and they're all in the ministry. And she said that her son was having a 30-day sabbatical. And I had to say, well, what is that?
30 days, it's an unusual number for a sabbatical.
Go do your thing for 30 days, and you're not allowed to come to our church during those 30 days. They had to go somewhere else. So that, you know, they might learn something while they're away.
I see.
It's kind of a sabbatical to where you go out and let the Lord talk to you about other things, the things that you've forgotten about, things that you have never even thought of. You're all of a sudden going to.
How about that?
With your mate, you can plan a great 30-day sabbatical.
Oh, my, it's like a 30-day vacation. You try to find God's work in your 30 days, I take it.
Yes.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is.
I never thought of that.
When all finished, I was still talking to myself after she's gone.
Yeah.
When do I get a 30-day sabbatical? With pay.
With pay, that's
With
right.
With pay is the final moment in that story.
Well, that vacation time probably has some kind of theme to it. And you just mentioned, you know, the possibilities of what you can do. You know, every mate should choose one. Maybe I'm going to focus on golfing, or I'll learn a different language, or I'll go deep sea fishing or something. To everything, there's a season and a time and a purpose under heaven. The Bible tells us that in Ecclesiastes. The rhyme and regularity of your stress-free fun season will actually increase your productivity. And that was the nature of your story that you were just sharing. You get more done, and you'll see, be able to focus more on what has to be done and doing God's work when you return. a time to weep and a time to laugh and a time to mourn and a time to dance. Remember reading that?
Oh, yeah.
In Ecclesiastes chapter 3. You know, one pastor said, "My Friday focus is my family exclusively. It has revolutionized our love for each other and our ministry as well. Any great habit can be learned." Well, I kind of like that idea. I read that someplace and I made a note of that. Any great habit can be learned. So if you have a habit of making Friday your Sabbath day, and you and your spouse can gather and get on your hands and knees and share together doing the work of God and resting together, it's just a valuable thing to do.
Gift, you know how hard that is to do.
I know it is.
You know how busy we are and how a day can change from one little thing to 500 coming at you.
That's right.
And you blow the whole day. You don't do anything you thought you were going to do. And everything is in chaos.
Yeah.
That's the time when the devil would just love to come in and just dig you deep with his sword and just cut you open.
That's exactly what happens.
You go to bed that night saying, "Wow, the devil sure tried hard today to kill me and to push me aside."
Let me share a little story, if I might, Dave. I'll take a minute to tell you. It's an old time management thing, but it has to do with resting and taking it easy. There's a story that I used to share in a classroom, and I would tell about the two gentlemen who were splitting wood for a living. And they both, they'd work an eight-hour day. But the one guy would start early, work through break, and work through lunch, and he'd just stop for 2 minutes to get a sandwich and a sip of coffee. And no afternoon breaks, no rest, no stop. And then he would work late every night, give them extra time. And at the end of the day, his partner had always split more wood, because the other guy would start on time, take his morning break, take his lunch, take an afternoon break, and then stop occasionally to rest. And he quit at quitting time, and he would chop more wood than this other guy who was working so diligently, starting early, working late. And finally, one day, they got the better of him, and the guy who was coming in second and working all the overtime and not cutting as much wood, he stopped. He said, "How is this? How is this? I work so much harder than you, but you split more wood than I do every day." And you know what the guy said? He said, "Every day," he said, "I stop for 5 minutes, take a break." He said, "I sharpen my axe." So you have to stay sharp. You have to stay keen. And that sometimes can mean taking a little break. That means stopping for a moment to saying hello and asking your friend or your coworker about the football game or about the health of their child. We're all human, and we need to do those kinds of things. And it helps us to keep our axes sharp and our minds sharp. We have work to do. But if you get so carried away in being so pure and wholesome and trying to go the extra mile and forget the basic common sense things, you're going to end up coming in second. So that's a good story on time management. It's also a good story on taking a break and learning how to relax a bit. Let's continue, Dave. Could I shift gears on you? Well, we're talking about a happy marriage, and we were talking about taking a break and how resting together is important. Let's take a look at sharing your confidence with your mate. Never, ever betray the confidence that you and your mate have together. Your character can be a trusted thing. Every human heart contains some kind of a secret. Every marriage mate has its habits. They have weaknesses. They have fantasies. They have childhood memories. Everything is hidden deep inside us. Unspoken needs and longing lies deep inside us. The yearning of the human heart for someone to trust is profound and unchanging. You and your mate should never betray each other for any reason. God designed marriage to be a safe haven in a dangerous world. When God links you with the mate of his choice, you will not have to guard yourself or guard your entire life or be afraid or constantly be living in fear. Those who want to be feared should be feared because they are deadly. Those who rule through threats instead of mentorship or satanic tools. The devil just works away at you sometimes. But don't ever betray the confidence of your spouse. The trustworthy mate is never dangerous. Their conduct is decided by their character, not opportunity. The heart of the husband does safely trust her. Your mate is human, and failure is inevitable. Give them what you yourself long for, the safety of discretion. It is so easy to serve someone who can be trusted. Remember that through your daily lives. The proof of loyalty is discretion. Can you be trusted with hidden secrets that you can confide in with your wife and your spouse? See, the marriage without fear is heaven on earth. And that's how we should all live.
I want to tell you a little story before we quit. All right? Maybe you have time?
Oh, yes.
There was a widowed lady who was encouraged by her family to get a parrot to keep her company. It will be some live creature that can talk to you and help you with your loneliness. So she went to the local pet store, and the owner showed her a bird and sold this bird as having a 500-word vocabulary. She returned after she bought it the next day and said to the pet store, "The parrot hasn't said one word yet." And, well, he said, "Does the bird have a mirror?" Parrots like to look at themselves in the mirror. They think it's another bird to talk to. So the next day she went back and announced that the parrot still didn't say a word. "Well, do you have a ladder?" Parrots enjoy walking up and down ladders. So she bought the ladder, and sure enough, the next day she's back, and the parrot will not talk. Not one word. Does the parrot have a swing? Birds enjoy swinging as much as that anything. And so she bought the swing, and the next day she came back, and I'm terribly sorry to hear that the bird had died. And did the bird ever say any word before he passed away? Yes. It said, "Don't they sell any food down there at that store?" Sometimes we want to do everything for our family, but
that's
the right thing.
That's right.
We want to give everything we get, and it's only one little phrase that they needed to hear, and we didn't have it for them.
That's a very good example of what we're trying to share. I like your story better than mine.
There's a lady in our church that has a parent, went to visit her one day,
yeah.
And somebody was talking, and they hit the room. And I said, "Well, what is that? Who is here?" She said, "Don't worry about that. That's my parrot." I said, "Well, you got to have a parrot?" She said, "Oh, I've had him for 37 years. Just he and me." She said, "I live all alone, but I have this parrot. And he talks to me, and we have fun together." She said, "I would never be able to live here without that bird. That bird really keeps me company." So you folk out there listening say, "What do I do? I'm by myself. Nobody talks to me." Go down to the pet store and buy
a parrot. 37-year-old parrots get up there pretty good for a parrot.
Right.
I would think so. Oh, yeah, there's lots of parrot stories like that. They're fascinating, yeah. Yes, usually ends up with something like they ate the rare bird and spoke all these languages. Remember all those jokes years ago? Well, why did you eat the bird? Well, you should have said something. If he could talk all these languages, why did he say something? Yeah. Yes. Well, David, we have there's still more subjects to cover. But the truth is, we've exhausted our time. We had a very good approach today to try to share with our listeners a way to strengthen their marriage and some do's and don'ts, and we even had fun doing it. So I hope our listeners gained as much as we did. But David, our time is spent. The clock on the wall says that, hey, it's time to say goodbye, and our engineer is waving at us. So we have to thank Carla DeJesus, our engineer, for assisting us today. But for now, we must say bye-bye.
Hey, Dave Colonin here. I've enjoyed it. Be discreet about the problems you are experiencing in your marriage, because sometimes your wife talks better than a parrot. See you next time. Bye-bye.